Can you tell me where he's gone? He freed a lot of people, but it seemed good they die young. I just look around and he's gone. Didn't you love the things that they stood for? Didn't they try to find some good for you and me? Then we'll be free someday. He's gonna be one day. Anybody here see my old friend Bobby? Can you tell me where he's gone? I thought I saw him walking up over the hill, Abraham and Martin.
WIOX is supported by the Slighter Agency on Main Street in Margaretville, a neighborhood independent insurance agency educating consumers about insurance decisions after a life-changing event, such as a marriage, divorce, death, a job-related change in benefits, and about coverage options. Open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5. More information at 845-586-2641 or slighteragency.com.
Hi, this is Artie Martello, host of the Catskills Cafe, Sunday afternoons at 2 on WIOX. I'm also the president of the Margaretville Hospital Auxiliary, and I'd like to tell you about the Auxiliary's upcoming blood drive. There is a great need for blood donations, and so the Auxiliary is holding a blood drive at the Margaretville Fire Hall on Church Street in Margaretville, New York, this Friday from 1:30 to 6:30 p.m. Walk-ins are welcome.
WIOX is supported by Kimchi Harvest at East Branch Farms on Route 30 at Briggs Road in Roxbury. Experienced growers of organic vegetables and herbs selling authentic homemade Korean kimchi in Banchans and summer consumer-supported agriculture shares. East Branch Farms. Information and ordering for pickup at 607-326-6177. Or eastbranchfarms.com.
Hi, this is Gail Lindstrom, host of Playtime on WIOX Roxbury, here to invite you to a special edition of Playtime this Sunday evening. It's a theatrical radio Zoom simulcast in collaboration with the Open Eye Theater of Margaretville called Monologue Free for All, a collection of 15 brand new short, humorous, and dramatic monologues written and performed by Open Eye Theater playwrights and actors from as nearby as Roxbury, New York, and as far away as New Zealand. Monologue Free for All. Tune in and Zoom in this Sunday evening at 6 o'clock on WIOX Community Radio, 91.3 FM, WIOXradio.org, and MTC Channel 20. See you Sunday.
You're just tuning in. You're listening to From the Forest. Every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talk about a different forest-related topic. And this is WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM. And MTC Cable Channel 20. And everywhere at WIOXradio.org, where it's easy to donate if you like what you hear. You can also get WIOX on any smart device through the radio.fm app. So, Gary, every third Wednesday, like we've been doing for, 8 to 10 years, have Mr. Mead, Mr. Gary Mead, come on from Fruitful Furnishing Sawmill and Gary Mead Gallery, talk about a different Catskills tree. Gary, how's it going?
Good. I think it's been about 12 years. But
12 years?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's got to be 10 at the most, because we started doing this radio show in 2010.
Oh, so. I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, I started in 2012. So
yeah.
It's been 8
okay.
years. Yeah.
I know, somewhere between 8
well,
and 10.
Well, that's why that 12 was stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
Because it was 2012, the same year I started the From the Forest sculpture that Hop and I did together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, From the Forest, as we've been September of 2010, one of the first shows to be on WIOX.
Uh-huh, nice.
Yeah, so.
Not too long after that, I was came on.
Yeah, I think this is about the 465th or 6th show.
Yeah.
So, still doing it.
It's a good thing, one of the better things we have in the area, for sure.
Yeah, we like it. So, what have you been up to before we get into the topic?
Oh, gardening.
Yeah.
Black caps are in season. I wrote another children's book. It's being, the illustrations I just found out were done, and I wrote it back in December, January, and this is about all the flowers. It's called Magic Up Nature's Sleeve. It's about all the flowers that grow in this corridor of the world, first one in the spring until the last one in early winter. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
So, I didn't get them all in. There's there's like 460-some species. And
right.
They're, well, families, and then they're split up into different species. Oh, it's but, you know, the ones that I always noticed as I was growing up, basically, are in the book. And, you know, I finally, you know, being a redneck on the farm, not having, you know, access to computers and all that stuff and libraries and, you know, school wasn't a major thing. And back then when you worked 12 hours a day on the farm, last thing you wanted had time for, and when you got in from the barn 9 o'clock at night was to read about flowers.
Right.
But out in the woods and up and along the walls and or in the pastures and all these, you know, the buttercups and all those different ones, and there were ones that I kind of had a redneck name for them, and I just when I wrote the book I actually looked them up and found out, you know, the name they were given. So, and they were pretty close to what we called them, but...
Hey, there's nothing wrong with local knowledge.
No. I do a lot of redneck engineering, and it's, if you come to the gallery, I'll show you some of it, and people are amazed that what redneck engineering, it's just, basically, it's common sense, but it works, it works in my world, and, so anyway, about... 8 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I had a load of lumber. I dry lumber for a company down in Long Island. And, I mean, this guy brings in slabs, you know, 5 and 6 feet wide, a lot of 36 to 48 inch. But, you know, there's huge slabs, and I kiln dry them for him.
Yeah.
And he was brought up a load, and I was unloading it, and I as soon as I see wood, I have to identify it. So this one pack I pulled off, I kept looking. And he said, Mr. Mead, you look confused. And I said, what the heck is this kind of wood? I can't identify it. He said,
who was this guy again, Gary? Oh, you don't have to say his name, but where did he come from?
Long Island.
Yeah.
He has Urban Specialty Woods. His name is Harry Sutter. And if you want tabletops, 4 foot wide and 10, 12, 14 foot long, I'll hook you up with him. He sends me a lot of stuff. But anyway, he said, oh, that's Polonia. And I said, who? And the 42 years I've been working wood, I never heard of a Polonia tree. So I think a couple months ago I was talking to Ryan, and I said, we're going to have to do Polonia on the radio. I just discovered a new tree. So this is in the spring when they were flowering. And Ryan told me this story. He said, oh, I was driving around with Sarah, and I saw a Polonia, and I'm looking at it, and she said, it's such a beautiful tree. And he said, Sarah just could not believe I'd never heard of that tree.
So, yeah, and I'm still not convinced that's what I saw. I meant to go stop at that house on the way here today, this morning. I completely forgot, because once I get on my route to Arkville, I just get into the zone.
In the zone, yeah.
And I'm going to try to stop on the way back, but I'll probably be in the zone to get home. So
yeah,
I'm not completely convinced.
Well, you sent me a picture.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And, but I'm pretty sure, but I'm not sure.
Well, it looked like the same picture I saw on, as soon as I, I had a little bit of trouble finding it because, I spelled it Palonia, and it's Paulau, whatever. But
yeah,
I finally found it, and, it's a flowering tree. It was brought into this country in 1844.
Yeah.
And it's been around a long time, and I have never. But it's a very light, strong wood. I have a 3-inch by, I think 14-inch wide slab that, I have that I'm going to make something out of. But I mean, it's I think 2.5 inches thick, and it's the same weight as basswood.
But strong, right?
Or butternut, but super strong.
Yeah, using boat building. I know some people might know this tree as princess tree or empress tree.
Yeah.
And, their invasive species alarm bells might be going off. But we're going to get in and talk about that later, about how if you ever want a really objective analysis, and no one can be completely objective, the USDA has a plant database that they do for every tree and shrub. And most of the time they have it pertain to fire and how it reacts to fire. But they go through the silviculture of the tree, any studies that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
And this tree gets a really bad rap when I started researching it. Like Connecticut, for example, has prohibited this tree because it's too invasive, they claim. But according to the USDA, it's moderate to low in the Northeast. It has never been able to compete in mature hardwoods in the Northeast because it cannot take any shade. So, well, to me, this is like black locust, which New York State has labeled as restricted, which I totally disagree with them about. But like black locust, it can only survive in a recently abandoned farm field.
Well, making black locust an invasive species is, in Gary Mead's world, is totally retarded.
Well,
I don't get it.
It's not good. It's not good, that's for sure.
We have that's a tree that will outlast teak 3 or 4 times.
Is that right?
And, we're labeled as invasive, so, we'll run down and cut the rainforest down, and we could be using black locust for outdoor furniture, which lasts 3 times longer than teak.
Yeah.
It's a third of the price, and it lasts 3 times longer, so these guys get too much education. They have no common sense, I guess. I don't know.
Well, like you said, it was brought over in 1844 as an ornamental, but what happened was, when I was researching it, was they were using as package, there's capsules that these things create. It's like the fruit, basically. Inside those capsules are thousands of seeds, and they were used as packing material.
Each tree will produce 20 million seeds a year.
They would dump them in the port of New York or whatever, and it would basically spread that way, create these whole groves of Polonia.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, people were planting it. And I've always had to explain this, especially with Norway maple. Norway maple is another, makes the bad boy list for invasive. But people plant it. If you plant it, it will grow.
Yeah. hope it'll grow. That's your whole reason for putting it out there.
In fact, I'm surprised Norway's not more invasive because it's actually planted everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, in urban areas. Even the village of Margaville, it's widely planted. And still it's not found that much, although it is found in places in Margaville.
All the years I've been in business, never heard of Paulownia. And it's, I'm excited about it because it's you know, good food for animals. It's a very beautiful tree, and it's fast growing. It will grow where nothing else will grow.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't like wetland. It won't grow near a swamp. And it won't grow, it won't start under the canopy of any kind of forest. And it basically it will grow, because I was talking to Ryan before the show and saying we should get some of these abandoned farms or these woodlots that are starting up. You know, they start with goldenrod, and then the thorn apples show up, and then, you know, maybe some poplars, and, you know, that's a whole cycle, and then it gets into the, you know, maybe the hard, you know, some of the hardwoods, the oaks and the maples start, and then they crowd everything else out. But, you know, take a whole, you know, a couple of old abandoned pastures or plant Paulownia there, and just, it's a beautiful tree. They use it, and I'm excited that it's used for so many different things, and it's light, and it's strong, and it's, I don't know how weather-resistant it is.
It's used in boat building.
It's used in boat building. So.
Yeah, that's like one of its claim to fames. Yeah. And plywood.
Yeah.
So.
And plywood, yeah. But in boat building, they probably cover it with epoxy.
Oh, yeah?
You know, so it's sealed inside of an epoxy. So it's probably not used for trim on the, I don't know. But, you know, I'm guessing. But I know butternut is a good outdoor wood, and that's light, but basswood is not a good outdoor wood. That'll rot in, you know, inside of 5 years if you keep it outdoors.
Well, in any case, I don't know much about this tree.
So no,
I'm pretty ignorant about its, you know, the wood is, you said you've seen it, but as far as the physical tree, I'm pretty ignorant about it. I know as a forester, I have not seen it, so I would recognize it if I seen it after researching it. And knowing the silvics of it, it really can't be invasive in the Catskill Mountains because we have way too many shade-tolerant trees and dense forest for it to really eke out a living. So I'm not worried about the invasive component of it. But and the USDA Forest Service, after researching it through their studies, seem to agree with that notion as well.
Mm-hmm.
Down south, it's more invasive, but they have, apparently, there's an American Paulownia Association. Mm-hmm. And down south, they plant this in plantations because it is one of the fastest, if not the fastest growing hardwood.
In the world. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It's insane. You know, because I always thought hybrid poplar was pretty damn fast.
Yeah, well, catalpa.
Catalpa, yeah.
Will grow pretty quick.
Well, its leaf
and
is like a catalpa.
And tulip poplars, look at those things. They're gigantic.
Yeah.
And but like the tulip poplar wood doesn't last at all outdoors.
No.
But the bark from the tree will last 60 to 80 years.
Huh.
Now, who'd have thought? But, yeah, the Indians taught us that. But I'm using it for siding on a house, actually, tulip poplar bark, because of that reason.
Yeah.
It'll outlast vinyl, and it's a natural wood product.
Yeah, that's cool. This is one at the top of the road where I live, yellow poplar. What's cool about yellow poplar is that even if it grows in the open field, it'll still grow straight.
Yeah. An
amazing tree. Whereas a lot of trees, they'll get, like, you know, some kind of codominant leaders or something.
Oh, so they'll get limbs from the ground right up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, the more light you give a maple, the more limbs it gets.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Same with oaks, you know, they'll grow limbs right from the ground up. But, you know, that's why when they're in a forest, they can't get light down there, so the boles are much bigger, and they make best hardwoods.
Yeah.
You know, the bole is worth more, a lot more that way.
So I got it written right in front of me. This tree, according to the USDA Forest Service, cannot tolerate competition, meaning for sunlight, when it's 70% shade. So 70% shade is fatal to the seedlings. So it doesn't matter if there's millions of seeds that the capsules are putting out there. If they don't have the light to grow, they're going to die and stuff. So apparently even growing them from seed, a lot of seeds suffer from rot and stuff they found, at least according to the USDA Forest Service again. So a lot of them are made from either cuttings or whatnot, I guess, at nurseries. But I don't even know if you can buy this at nurseries. I really don't know much about it. But its name comes from... some kind of queen. Yeah, originally Pavlovnia, in honor of Anna Paulowna, queen consort of the Netherlands from 1795 to 1865, Gary. She was the daughter of Tsar Paul of Razin, a.k.a. Princess Tree. It's probably Russia. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, she was some daughter of some Tsar and Princess Tree or Empress Tree, as some may know this. But one of the fastest growing trees out there. Pretty amazing. This was also planted quite a bit, apparently, on old coal sites, you know, where they done doing the mining.
Right, yeah.
And it can grow, as you said, Gary, on anything, and it does. Supposedly.
It just doesn't like wet areas. It can't tolerate moisture or shade. But it'll grow in hard soil, sand. It has no problems growing in either one of them.
And in Europe, it's revered. In America, not so much. You go online, you look this tree up. It's amazing. There's a lot of groups hating on the Paulownia, but in Europe, it's still pretty revered apparently. But you know, there's a lot of that going on. And you know, there's some invasive species out there like knotweed and elongate hemlock scale and hemlock woolly adelgid that are pretty bad. But you know, we don't talk about the non-natives that are prolific throughout the landscape that are good or the benefits. Mm-hmm. Or actually, what about looking at each plant? Not about its green card status, which I call plant xenophobia. But instead looking at it how it acts and interacts in the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
It's cost versus benefits, you know? I mean, it's like if it's not from here, it's bad or something. I don't know. I don't understand that. I mean, right off the bat, apple would have been too invasive 60 years ago because all the farms were abandoned about then around here. Apple was very plentiful.
Right.
Just growing like a weed.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah.
Not from here. Neither are honeybees. You know? They compete with native bees, I'm sure, for some nectar resources. Honeybees.
Well, if you go back far enough, there wasn't much here at all. So, you know, it just,
I don't know.
As time goes on, this is what happens. And I don't particularly care for all the diseases that come from overseas that attack our forests. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, if something disappears, something replaces it, like, right away. That's nature. And, you know, every time I see an ash tree now, it just makes me sad. It makes me sad to see an elm tree. 'Cause I know that they're, you know, I never pull an elm sapling out 'cause, you know, elms are still seeding and growing, but they get 20 to 30 years old, and they die. And that's just a cycle of them. So basically, you know, I have elm trees. Any other tree that was growing close to my building at the mill or my house, I would take it out. But
We passed by the biggest elm on the way here that I know of.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm talking about? That tree's huge.
There's one cresting the hill into Roxbury.
Yeah.
Actually died.
Yeah, died last year.
Yeah, and I'm kind of waiting for see who's going to I don't know who lives there, but I was going to contact them and say, you know, when that thing gets cut down, I'll take the logs away.
Yeah.
And saw them up. I love elm. Elm is it's a very beautiful tree. I got a bunch from the Darling Farm. They had a huge tree that died a few years back. I mean, this thing must have been 150 35, 40 years old, and it was two that kind of grew together, and they're about 50 inches each at the base. But that was a huge tree. But I have that at the mill. I'm getting ready to saw that for them, and you know, yeah. I'll keep some of the wood, and they're going to have furniture made. But you know, it's not Polonia. We better get back on Polonia. But anyway, they actually have plantations of it over in Europe, and recently there's a disease attacking this tree.
That's what I heard from Yale. This guy from Yale University was claiming that and says it's quite devastating. I don't know. I haven't fact-checked it just yet, but it sounds like, you know, Yale's usually a pretty reputable resource.
Yeah. They usually pretty respectable, or what they find, you know, their knowledge there. So it's medicinal in Asia, but I don't know how. You know, I wouldn't go right out and start eating the leaves or the bark right away before you did too much research. Right. But, you know, it might be something in the root. Who knows? I mean, there are lots of plants because, you know, I've harvested now. I'm harvesting a lot of wild plants, but I study them for a good year before I'll eat them because, you know, there's certain times of the year you can eat them. If they get to a certain point, then they become toxic, and you know, you really want to be careful out there with that kind of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, but, you know, it's not going to keep me from doing it because, you know, I have about 14 different wild plants now that I put into my diet over the past 6 or 7 years. And they work. And basically I make a smoothie and I call it my morning mix, and whenever I drink a 6-ounce glass of that in the morning, I wouldn't have to eat the rest of the day. I got all my vitamins and minerals, everything I need, out of stuff that I harvested off my lawn.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's out in the forest. But, you know, be careful about what you do. Do a lot of research before you go and eat them. But, you know, Polonia's got most trees do have some kind of medicinal purpose to them.
Seems that way.
Yeah. You know, it could be the bark, or it could be the fruit. And I know you can eat ash leaves in the spring. All the basswood flowers and all those different flowers are edible. And they're sweet, and they go into a salad. And, you know, this Polonia, I mean, with one tree, just the flowers in it, you could get, you know, 10 years worth of, I've been harvesting flowers lately and putting them in, drying them and saving them to use them in soups and salads.
Yeah.
I mean, they're high in vitamin C, most flowers, and they're, you know, they have some minerals and whatnot, but, you know, when you put them in a salad, you know, Father's Day, we all met at my cabin, I made this potato salad, and I put all these flower petals in. Kids open it up, they go, "This looks more like a birthday cake than it does a salad." And I say, "Well, eat up. It's all good for you." My daughter-in-laws think I'm a little bit nuts, but they'll get over it. You know, none of them would touch it, but my sons and my grandchildren, they gobble it up like
candy. They
wouldn't
touch it?
Well, they're a little bit afraid of it. I don't know why. I've been eating it for a few days. I'm not growing horns or I don't got pimples or break out. I'm okay.
Right.
But anyway, it's, there's a lot of stuff out there that is really good for you that you really should, and, you know, this Polonia might be one of them. I don't know. But I have not seen a Polonia tree that I know of in my life yet, and I'm really anxious to see one. And if that one over by you is one,
yeah,
I might stop and see if I can get some seeds and start a few of them. And, you know, I have 35 acres up in New Kingston. I'll plant 20 or 30 of them up there and you know, I own an old pasture, and that's just what it needs.
Yeah, well, you better, it might be on the ban list, though, before you know it, so you might...
might better hurry up and get them in.
Yeah, right.
get them grandfathered.
Yeah, grandfathered. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. with Ryan and John. John's out tonight, but every third Wednesday, we talk to Gary Mead, who owns Gary Mead Gallery and the Fruitful Furnishings Sawmill.
I'm going away, 'cause I got a busted heart. I'm leaving today with my travel all star. I reckon where I'm headed, I might need me different clothes. Way up in Michigan, where the Laughing River flows. Years in the minor leagues, in no place I didn't go. Well, I got a few hits, but I never made the show. And I could hang on for a few years, doing what I've done before. I wanna hear the Laughing River flowing right outside my door. My cousin Ray said he's got a job for me, where the houses are cheap, and he knows this nice lady. He said she even saw me play once, said she smiled at my name. Well, up on the Laughing River could be a whole new game. Goodbye to the bus, and goodbye to paying dues. Goodbye to the cheers, and goodbye to the booze. Well, I'm trading in this old bat for a fishing pole. Gonna let the Laughing River flow right into my soul. And I'm going away, 'cause I got a busted heart. I'm leaving today, if my travel all will start. And I reckon where I'm headed, I might need me different clothes. Way up in Michigan, where the Laughing River flows. Way up in Michigan, where the Laughing River flows. Way up in Michigan.
Okay, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m., talking about a different forest-related topic with Ryan and John. John's out tonight, but every third Wednesday, we talk about a different Catskills tree with Gary Mead. He's the owner of Gary Mead Gallery and Fruitful Furnishing Sawmill. Tonight it's kind of an eccentric tree, a tree that you're probably not going to find in the Catskills, which is kind of a misnomer because we said it was a different Catskills tree. But in any case, it's Paulownia, also known as Princess Tree or Empress Tree. Some claim it's invasive, but the jury is out on that. At least in the Northeast, the USDA Forest Service has done some studies, and just by my observations, it seems like it only grows on extremely disturbed sites where the soil is very sterile, meaning like a fire or, kind of exposed mineral soil, something like that. But it just can't compete in the mature hardwoods where it gets shaded out. So, but in any case, the reason why we chose it was Gary had someone bring it to his sawmill, and it was an unidentified piece of wood.
To have it dried, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I never heard of it before, and I wanted to, being in the wood world, I wanted to explore it a little more. I still don't know a whole lot about it, but, I'll learn more. I kept a plank of it that I dried, and I found out it's good for making instruments. It's exported. It was exported for high-value lumber since 1970.
Yeah, in the U.S.
And in the U.S., and it's called the Magic Tree, or the Eco-Friendly Multipurpose Tree.
That's right.
That sounds like a lot better than the Invasive Species Tree.
Yeah. Well, I think it was, I already mentioned this, but I think it was Montesquieu who mentioned that America loves their associations, and there's an American Paulownia Association if you want to look up the benefits of this tree. But there's an association on just about everything out there. But this is a tree that grows up to 90 feet tall. Its leaves are kind of big, like you were saying before, Gary, like the catalpa tree.
Yep.
And the leaves, though, unlike catalpa, are kind of hairy, which is why its name is Tomentosa is the species name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Paulownia Tomentosa is the Latin name. And Tomentos means hairy. But it seems to have opposite twig pattern, which throws off my tree ID, because when I do tree identification, like I did last Saturday as an event for the Catskill Forest Association, the only trees that have opposite twig pattern are, primarily maple and ash and dogwood. But this tree has opposite twig pattern, doesn't fit into those families of trees, so there is that. This is a really fast-growing tree, though. I mean, one guy was claiming that it becomes mature in less than 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Start seeding, yeah.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Well, I wanted to spell it for you folks. You might want to look it up. When I first wrote it down, I wrote on the piece of wood with a magic marker when he told me it was Paulownia, P-O-L-I-N-I-A, Paulownia. But when I went to research it online, I had a little bit of a problem finding it, and finally I, kept changing letters and whatnot, and it's actually spelled P-A-U-L-O-W-N-I-A, Paulownia. And so if you want to do some research on it, I mean, to have it on your lawn, not next to your house, of course, but, maybe 50 yards away or so, it would make a beautiful ornamental tree for your lawn. And fast growing if you have a spot on your property where nothing else will grow.
If you are concerned about the invasive nature, there are other varieties, according to other websites, that you can plant that have sterile seeds.
That will.
Yeah, they're not going to be Tomentosa, I don't think. But there's other within that family or genus. But also, here's the thing. It gets even more complicated. Gary. Listen to this.
All right.
So they found out that, whoever they are, that apparently this species used to be native. Get out of town, right? So once occurred in the fossil record in North America, it was found in Ellensburg Canyon in Washington. So it used to be native to North America. Huh. And but, if you think about it, if you believe in the whole, which I think I do, Pangea, I guess all the continents were together at one point, so you could claim a lot of things were native at one time. But it was found in Washington State in the fossil record, so there you go.
Well, it's a magic tree, an eco-friendly multi-purpose species.
Right.
I mean, you can go from invasive species to that, and, you know, I'm leaning toward that more than invasive species.
A lot of things have done that.
I have never heard of the Paulownia being a problem anywhere. And, you know, all the forest-related things I ever got into. And, you know, I'm just, you know, every time I visited another state, I went to the first thing I do if I go to another country or state, first thing I do when I land is I go to the library and I or a bookstore and I buy a book on the local trees.
Yeah.
And I spend the rest of my vacation looking at trees and collecting, you know, seeds and bringing them home, going to the book and identifying them. And it was really funny because my son Max did a semester in over in Australia. He was over there for a semester, and I went over to visit him. Me and my two boys flew over and spent 18 days over there with him. And Max is on the soccer team. Okay, we went to the first soccer game. Halftime, everybody's watering up and having a whatever, and I'm climbing around the trees. And Max's soccer team goes, "What the hell is your dad doing?" And Max goes, "Oh, he's nuts about trees. He's collecting samples." And I collected all these samples from these trees because I'll actually climb. If I can't reach it from the bottom, I'll climb up in them and get a seed or a flower or something. Then I go back to my, you know, home base, and I look up what it is and write a little something about it and study it. And in my world up until then, a eucalyptus tree was one particular tree, because, you know, the Kabbalah bears or whatever they're called, koala, they, you know, eat eucalyptus.
Yeah.
And they live in them. So I went over there to find a eucalyptus tree, and what I learned is a eucalyptus has 100 different varieties of this tree.
Really?
They're like the hardwoods. And I would say they're kind of like the hard, because there's all these different ghost gum and red gum, and there's 100 varieties of eucalyptus. So that, you know, my whole life up until then, there was one tree. It was a eucalyptus tree, and I learned that, I think, from the Disney Channel, that the koala bear was feeding on this eucalyptus. But there's a lot of different varieties of eucalyptus, and the ghost gum is probably the most incredible.
Ghost gum?
Ghost gum.
Jeez.
And at night, on a full moon, when you're driving around the mountains in Australia, they are so white. They are 10 times whiter than a white birch. And there's no black on them at all. There's other trees that look like a white birch or called some other kind of gum, but they're a eucalyptus family. But this thing is so white, it's like a bright white piece of paper.
Hmm.
And on a full moon in the forest, it looks like ghosts out in the forest. They are super bright. And the moonlight reflects off them, and they show up at night. We drove the mountains at night just to go see them, you know, we had a pretty good moon. But
if you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is Paulownia with Gary Mead.
Beautiful face.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to From the Forest every Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Tonight's topic is Polonia with Gary Mead. Gary comes on every third Wednesday. He's the owner of Gary Mead Gallery and Fruitville Furnishings Sawmill.
And if you want to learn anything about local woods, come down to the gallery and I will teach you. We're by appointment only, so if you go to my website, gary-mead.com, you can email me or call me, and we can give you a tour of the gallery. I have all the, 90%, 95% of all the local tree woods in the gallery, in the floor. So, and, you know, all the tables and everything I make in there is within 50 miles of the gallery. So I'm totally local there. I realized about 10 years ago we have the best wood in the world here, because when I first started woodworking, I always heard, you got to go this from Asia, that from, Africa, blah, blah. And I mean, I'm not discounting their woods, but we have the best in the world here. So, and this is called Dances with Wood. I haven't read this one in a while, and I felt a hankering to read it tonight, but I wrote this 7/2/2017 at 10:30 at night. And it goes like this. Born into this world, no choice of mine. I arrived here knowing nothing at all. Memories vague from 2 to 5 years of age. Sent to school then, scared and surprised. Best memories ever was being in the woods. That is when it started, keeping me light on my feet. My life was about dances. Dances with wood. When the dance started, too young to realize, as I was aging, the pull got stronger and closer. As I realized nature, it became clearer and clearer. In the beginning, all thought as I, and what keeps grinding at me, not many thought as do I. Beloved nature and all it provides, being tossed to the side. So I continued dancing, keeping me light on my feet. My life was about dances, dances with wood. Walking the mountains, fields, valleys, and streams. Noticing birds, reptiles, fish, plants, animals, and trees. But the strongest pull would be the dances, dances with wood. When I am summoned, my nature becomes wood, and what always appears only described as good. Keeping me light on my feet, dances, dances with wood. Cutting into a log, the aroma fills the air, such as musical notes, each owning its own space. Dancing in my mind, planing, cutting, drilling, shaping, finishing. Magic suddenly becomes viable in this world I become to know. Magic suddenly visible and keeping me light on my feet till my time here is over, summoned to dances, dances with wood. And that's my poem for tonight. And, I hope to get some Polonia seeds and actually start a couple trees and see what it's like. I mean, if they mature in 10 years, I have a shot to see a mature tree at this point in my life.
Yeah.
Anyway, my property, New Kinks, and I'm going to have, it's an old pasture, most of it, and it's a young forest, and there's a lot of basically diseased soft maples that sprouted up there and a bunch of really not very healthy, for some reason have been taken over by the spruce trees. There are thousands of little sprouts and, so I'm going to clear out spaces and, I'm going to have my walnut grove and, some red oaks and some white oaks and there's maples there already. All I got to do is trim the bad stuff out and let the... the hard maples are still so healthy, and they're so beautiful. They're, I mean, the bark, it's, when you see a young tree, when it's smooth and almost has like a smoky look about it, that's really, really a healthy, hard maple.
Yeah, it's growing fast.
Growing fast and just happy. I mean, it's very happy.
Well, that's the way this tree looks its whole life.
Really?
Yeah, I looked at pictures of it, and it grows so fast, it's just very smooth, and not as smooth as beech, but you can tell the bark is expanding, and later on it becomes more cracked, you know, in appearance, but yeah, it grows fast.
Well, I'm amazed how fast walnut trees grow.
Yeah.
It's, I had a few, you know, I harvested in Ellenville 8-9 years ago a bunch of walnuts from, you know, Max was having a soccer game there, and his team and I, halftime, I went over and I put a couple bags full of nuts and I brought them home, cracked some. I left them out on the porch. Squirrels planted them all over my property.
Yeah.
I think I have 10 walnut trees growing there. I had to kill a few of them that were too close to the house, but you know, I didn't mean to. But the first thing you do is I shoot a root down twice the length of the sprout that grows up. They're really hard to transplant. I tried twice and I couldn't get them to grow after pulling them out or digging them up. But once they got situated, I can't believe the growth potential. And what I found out about walnut, they grow so fast in this one particular area here that if you don't cut the top out a couple of times, they grow too fast, and then a heavy wind will break them and kill them. I have a lot of people that planted walnuts around this area, and they'll call me and after a heavy windstorm or some kind of a storm that went through and say, oh, yeah, it's a walnut fall. I said, well, how big is it? Well, it's about 5 or 6 inches. And I said, well, it's all sapwood at that point, really. Right. I mean, I'm not milling much out of that. I mean, may as well just burn it.
We cut down one that was, I don't know, over 30 inches, maybe 40. I don't remember. It's big over in Rosendale.
Yeah, John was telling me about that. He's
huge.
The guy stickered it. I guess you sawed it up too,
well,
right?
Well, actually, it must be around 29 to 30 because the mill only takes that much, and I think he had to cut it down, so it's probably a hair over 29.
Well, he said they cut. Well, I do it at my mill. I have a 27-inch throat, and I can take a 36-inch diameter log, saw two sides off, get it down to where my 27 inches are, will fit through, and saw it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, the huge, you know, 48, 60 inch, I can't touch those.
Yeah. But we only got about a minute left, Gary. So, you going to get any more of this polonia in or what? Probably never, huh?
Oh, actually, I'm going to. I met a guy in. Who introduced me to him? Ray Scarth introduced me to him. He's a Kingston area. He makes guitars, and he rebuilds guitars, but he also makes guitars. And I had a bunch of met him a few weeks ago or a few months ago, and he took a whole bunch of different, you know, like elm and stuff they don't usually. He was going to experiment with them. I said, "Geez, I got all this, but." Now that I found out polonia, I'm going to call this guy in Long Island. He's coming up on Monday to pick some more stuff up that I dried for him. And I'm going to see if he has any more of that, send it back up, see what he wants for it. And maybe this guy, this guitar maker, would want some of that.
Yeah.
Because he's looking for spruce, which I can't find spruce.
It's, red spruce, probably.
And I had spruce down there, but, you know, it's got to be really special spruce no knots. No, it's got to be super straight grain. And he also uses larch, and I sawed some larch out, and there's nothing there. He comes back, he's like, it's not good enough. It's got to be slow growing, very tight grain.
Yeah.
And actually, red spruce is very hard to get now.
Yeah, I bet.
I think he said he's having a really tough time. But anyway.
Well, that's all the time we have on From the Forest.
Thanks for listening, folks.
Yeah, thank you for listening. See you next week, Wednesday, 6 to 7 p.m.
Peace, everybody. The water seeped into his shoes and the drizzle turned to snow. His eyes were red, his hopes were dead, and the wine was running low. And the old man came home from the forest. His tears fell on the sidewalk as he stumbled in the street. A dozen faces stopped to stare, but no one stopped to speak. For his castle was a hallway, and the bottle was his friend. And the old man stumbled in from the forest. Up a dark and dingy staircase, the old man made his way. His ragged coat around him as upon his cot he lay. And he wondered how it happened that he'd ended up this way. Getting lost like a fool in the forest. And as he lay there sleeping, a vision did appear. Upon his mantle shining, the face of one so dear, who'd loved him in the springtime of a long forgotten year, when the wildflowers did bloom in the forest. She touched his grizzled fingers and she called him by his name. And then he heard the joyful sound of children at their games. In an old house on a hillside in some forgotten town, where the river runs down from the forest. With a mighty roar, the big jet soars above the canyon streets. And the con men con, but life goes on, for the city never sleeps. And to an old forgotten soldier, the dawn will come no more. For the old